Hey, hey, hey. World
Hey.
Series Wednesday. How about that?
Yes, I like that. I
World
like that.
Series Wednesday. And a West Coast Wednesday still. I mean, we're still repping for the West, of course. Hey, everybody, thanks for checking us out. Tune in. If you are just getting on, we just started, so join the party. Feel free to keep your phone open, listen, watch us while you check out the rest of the game. I think we're, what, in the fifth inning right now or something? So we appreciate you joining. Feel free to share, subscribe, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. We're all there live.
Share, share, share.
And don't forget to vote.
Yeah, like for real. That's. I don't think anybody can forget with the robocalls, the commercials.
All the mailers. When I check my mail, I've got like.
Vote. I can't even say don't forget. Just be responsible and go vote. Vote early because you don't know what you'll be doing on November 3rd.
Yes.
You know it's here. We got 132 polling places. You got options. No excuses.
Lots of options. There's no excuses. Get out there and vote, please, because that's what we all need to be doing right now. I already voted. Mo voted. So make sure you guys go and do your part. Mo, other than the game, you doing well? Everything's been good for you?
Yeah. You know, we're still in a pandemic and, you know, we're seeing that going on and
numbers are rising.
The numbers are rising. We still staying socially distanced, so it looks like we're still gonna be streaming each other for a while, which is good. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm comfortable with it.
You know, it's what we gotta do just to get things going. So, you know, it is what it is. What can we do, right? But just try and stay safe. Try and stay safe.
Exactly.
We've got stuff to cover a little bit. Of course, we want to talk about the World Series. We've got a great guest on. Mr. Rich Perez will be joining us in a minute or two. We'll discuss some of the NFL's topics, the Cowboys' downfall.
Downfall, I feel like.
Yeah. Antonio Brown possibly coming back. And, you know, I've been hit up. I've had so many messages today about Antonio Brown coming to Seattle. And from what I gathered from Pete Carroll's interview earlier at practice was that, you know, they're keeping all options open, but there's other people that are looking at him too. I mean, you know, if he's healthy and he's mentally ready to do work.
It's anything. And we already saw this coming. We knew that he was going to be off suspension after week eight. So who wasn't going to shop him? You know what I mean? Yeah. Except the Raiders. We ain't shopping him. But, you know. Best of luck to him, I guess. So hopefully he's in the right headspace and he's kind of humbled and humiliated a little bit and another chance to kind of redeem himself if you will. So whatever team gets him, guess what? I don't know if we can pick him up on fantasy or whatever the case may be, but he might ball out of people's minds and be quite shocking.
I did actually pick him up in my girls' league, and shout out to Nate Sanders in my guys' league because, of course, he went and picked him up and then hit me with the news. Like, you know, he sent me the text after he went and picked him up. And I was like, ha, touche. Okay. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But if he's able to do work for a team, it's going to be interesting. And if it's for our team, hey, Russell Wilson, MVP, Thompson, DK, Tyler Lockett, and Antonio Brown, like, you can't get much better than that. So,
I mean, it's 2020. All this stuff is all anomalies to me. I'm nothing is surprising me anymore going forward with this
Not
year.
At all. So. And Daryl, your Cowboys are, and we will definitely address the NFC East, AKA Trashville, because it's almost pathetic, if you will.
I mean, I don't know what's worse, Aaron Rodgers tanking as bad as he did against Tampa Bay or this Dallas Cowboys thing.
I feel like Aaron wasn't really there mentally, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, what do you do? What do you do? I don't know.
I feel like it's worse because he's better. This is the Cowboys, like. We expect this kind of shenanigans going on as soon as Dak went down, but you know, did they expect to win a game with Dak being gone? I don't know. That's what I questioned, and that's why.
Well, I think they thought they were going to get some kind of old form of the Red Rifle, which at some point did win some games on occasion. But you're still looking at
Andy Dalton, and you have a Zeke that did not step up or show up, and he owns himself on that. So, I mean, my thing is this. Did you really expect to do anything? Like, and I'm more upset at Cowboys' delusion, their fans being as delusional as them losing. I don't know which is worse on the upsetment. The fact that y'all didn't realize that this was going to happen or the fact that y'all really are in a fantasy thing. I had a shout out to Stephanie because I kept tweeting and we were going back and forth trading barbs. Yeah, the difference is with us Raider fans, we know when we stink and we're willing to acknowledge that. You guys
Cowboys don't get it.
Buy property, beachfront property off of this island, And then you buy another piece of property, Fantasy World. I don't know, but it's ridiculous. But we'll get into it. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll get into it. It looks like you guys scored again, so that's good. Home run, Taylor. Looks like Taylor just hit a home run.
Taylor?
Yeah, Les Pickett just said that. So thanks, Les, for the heads up. Feel free to give us some updates throughout in the chat if you guys are watching. We appreciate it.
Take it. Like, this is crazy. Like, I'm not expecting, you know, greatness like the night before, but I'm expecting, you know, just to just finish this. I wanted it before. You know, that's my goal. It doesn't happen before, but, you know.
Dre loves your shirt. So thanks, Dre, for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, let's just get our guest.
Robinson. Hello.
Yeah. You can't beat that.
That's Jackie, like 42. Yeah. This 42 is like the real deal. So, yeah. And it's Brooklyn. It's not, you know what I mean? We're representing Dodgers all the way through. So Brooklyn to LA. We got Spike Lee, who played Mookie in Do the Right Thing. And he already posted on his Instagram that this Mookie is rooting for, Brooklyn Mookie is rooting for LA Mookie. So we're going to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was a whole Twitter thing about Mookie. So that's good too. Shout out to Donnell checking. We appreciate you, Goose.
Donnell, I loved your shirt last night, by the way. I loved what you had on Let the Ball Bounce. That Dodger blue looks great on you. You might want to consider switching lanes a little
5-2 Tampa is up. Oh, here comes the Cowboy. Oh, they're not delusional. They're just plagued by injuries. Everybody is plagued by injuries this year. Everybody.
And I love you, but you are wrong. You are wrong. I'm sorry. It's not even a thing of you guys just have to be realistic on this situation. You guys have always preached Cowboys pounds. Every year you guys predicate that y'all going to Super Bowl. Every year. Raider fans, we don't do that. We just like to flip a coin and see what happens. You know what I mean? We expect the L's here and there. We know our team. Like, I don't know. But I love you, sis. I miss you tons. I can't wait for homecoming or something. Like, man, when are we going to get these HBCU homecomings back? They're doing them virtually, but I want to see the real deal. So we're going to have to link up for sure.
Let's get our guest on so we can get this ball rolling. Please welcome Mr. Rich Perez. Hey Rich.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
And you're a Raiders fan too, Rich?
What's that?
Are you a Raiders fan too? Do I see a Raiders? Oh my God.
Well, you know, Rich is a native of LA. So it's only natural that you kind of are with all of the LA teams, of course. But like I put in our description, like Rich is an OG in sports media. Like this guy, you know, I met Rich. Me and Stephanie met Rich about 3 years ago during the Big Three Championship here in Las Vegas and totally connected, had a great time. But, you know, it wasn't talked about that I was like, okay, and I researched on who Rich Perez was and, you know, phenomenal stuff. And like, you know, his Facebook and Twitter is always full of lots of his old photos with some of the, you know, different players and people he's had a chance to meet with and interview and talk to and cover. And it's just some great stuff. But Rich, please talk with our audience. Let us know kind of, you know, I know there was some minor league baseball in there, but give us kind of a rundown of your history in sports and then how it propelled you into sports media and this lovely wall of collector's items that you probably have.
It is amazing.
It's crazy. It's how this, if somebody would have told me I had this type of life at this age now, I would not have believed it. But, you know, 17 Super Bowls, 24 Pro Bowls, 10 World Series I've covered. You know, I've been a player. I was in the minors for the Yankees, the Giants, the Royals, Cubs. You know, so I made the rounds down in the minor leagues and hurt my shoulder, blew that out, went back to Montclair, California. What am I going to do? I went to Foot Locker. I figured, okay, I know everything about shoes. I'm going to Foot Locker. So I went to work at Foot Locker. Ended up taking a assistant manager's job in Hawaii, started getting acclimated out there, meeting people in Hawaii, started laying a lot of groundwork that would come back to me later. And, you know, that turned into going to Indiana. Indiana turned into a TV show with Daryl Davis, a guy who's passed away now, but and Sam Hill, the former center for the Mavericks. We did a show up in Michigan City, Indiana. That took off, did very well. I did that for 3 years. Went to Denver. They offered me prime time, 5 o'clock on TV to do a show, sports show. So I did it. And I did that for 3 years. And that went really well in Denver. I got to hang out with the Rockies, the Nuggets, the Broncos. I mean, just that's why I know so many Bronco players. But it's been crazy, really. And then I came to Vegas, and I was on with Adelphia Cable in L.A., and I was here at CBS, and that thing just kept evolving. And CBS, I was there the longest. But, you know, I was also the Globetrotters announcer in between that time.
Wow.
CMX Sports and Entertainment here in Vegas. I was their sports guy. So it's just been crazy. It's just been something that I kept carving and kept taking. I was, you know, Don King's announcer for Friday Night Fights. And
okay.
With Colonel Bob.
Take it back for sure.
Yeah. So I've done a lot of stuff, and it's been fun. And, you know, I've had a lot of good success in sports, and I've got to meet a lot of great players and coaches, and hang out with Bobby Cox in his dugout, and just you know, one thing after another, from Lasorda to you name it, I probably know him. It's been crazy, really, but it's been fun.
Oh my gosh,
that is,
and
so
it's awesome. Taken you all over, and you've experienced the most, which is amazing. I only could have wished. Yeah,
11 years the NBA Summer League, but the Globetrotters was the funnest thing that I did by far. When I tell people I'm a Globetrotter, they look at me like I'm crazy. but I am. I'm a hard on
Globetrotter. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's crazy. And the Globetrotters, I mean, that's like, that's historic. I mean, that's just, not many people can say that. So
I remember going to Globetrotter games as a kid. I remember my dad taking my brothers and I to those Globetrotter games here at the Thomas and Mack. And just the fact that you were there being a media side of that had to be interesting.
Because I gotta tell you, this is a weird story.
Yeah,
if you got a minute.
Yeah, we got,
Plenty of
about,
that.
This is amazing, really. It's an amazing story. I was about 10 years old, and I had the flu, and I couldn't speak. My dad took me to see the Globetrotters play at the Fabulous Forum in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when they had Curly Neal and Meadowlark and all those guys. So I went reluctantly because I was sick. I didn't feel well at all. My dad's friend was the clock operator for the Lakers, so he also did the Globetrotters when they showed up at the Forum. So after the game, he says, hey, do you want to meet Curly and Meadowlark and all those guys? And of course, I nodded yes. I couldn't speak at all, nothing.
Oh.
And so we go backstage, back in the locker room, and Curly Neal asked my dad, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's sick. He can't speak. He's just got the flu really bad and laryngitis. Curly now puts two arms on my shoulder, you know, right here. And he says to me, one day you're going to be able to speak, and you're going to be the announcer for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
I never thought in a million years. I didn't even think about it for years. You know, I just remembered him telling me that, but I never really pursued anything.
Wow.
It wasn't something I pursued. And I just kind of fell into it through Chad Groth and meeting Manny Jackson, and one thing led to another. I showed up in Flagstaff with 200 people trying out for one job, and I got it.
Wow. Talk about speaking into existence. Gosh. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. That's the way the world works. Bring it on.
It is. Unreal. Yeah, you're right.
Well, if you're joining us, Chris Perez here, local and nation worldwide sports media OG. So I know we wanted to have you on here. I thought it was great timing. We're mid World Series, literally. We're in the middle of game two. And I appreciate you guys both for taking time out of baseball for a second, you know, into being part of the podcast. But what is your feeling so far, how COVID baseball has worked or not worked, and kind of, you know, what your feelings are for this series and kind of what your prediction is for the World Series, a series itself.
I got the Dodgers winning in six. I think that this is Mookie Betts is the difference. And this is basically the same Dodger team you've seen for 4 years, but Mookie Betts put them over the top. I mean, he's and then the coming on of Walker Buehler, he's unreal.
Yeah,
so yeah, those two guys right there are really killing it. And Bellinger, of course, remember, he was struggled in those two World Series,
mm-hmm.
but he's not that same hitter anymore. So it's really a culmination of those guys all maturing and coming together. Not to take anything from Tampa. This is a good team.
Yeah.
But they're new. They're inexperienced. They've got some flamethrowers, but that's what the Dodgers love to hit, the flamethrowers. So I got 4-2 Dodgers winning this thing. They're losing tonight, but not out of it yet.
No.
Yeah.
Still early. Do you think you know, yeah, I watched Mookie even when he was with Boston and we faced them in the 2018 World Series and knew that he was just the truth. Like, absolutely. I couldn't knock who Mookie Betts was. And when we acquired himself and David Price, I feel like, and I understand David Price's situation as far as COVID, he respected, you know, teams respecting his wishes to sit out for family, but he would have been one of the most, he's one of the most elite pitchers that would have put us even more over the top, as well as a strong hitter. Do you feel like we missed him in that last series? You think we could have gotten rid of those Braves sooner than later if we had a Dave Price on?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. We're about one pitcher short, and that's David Price. And it's too bad he opted out. But, you know, it's everybody's right. And talking about the last question that you asked me, Melissa, and Mo, on the COVID situation, I think baseball handled it as best they could. You know, no fans. Nobody knows what this thing can do. So nobody knows our situation or who's going to get it and who's going to take it to the ballpark. So I think they did the right thing with no fans. Just keep it safe for a little while. Now in this bubble in Texas and San Diego, which has now moved to Texas, I thought it was a good idea. You know, a lot of Dodger fans in Texas come from Albuquerque, where they used to play. And, you know, there's a ton of Dodger fans in the Southwest. So it's a win-win for the Dodgers, really.
It really
it's
is.
It's like a home game.
Yeah, because I'm hearing the fans saying Dodgers. Yeah, that's all I hear watching the series, especially game two. Every Dodger that comes up to bat, you're hearing the fans all chanting Dodgers. Let's go Dodgers.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting.
I think the announcers even mentioned that, like, as far as like the fans and their jerseys and stuff go, like it was like a 50-1 ratio. Like there was 50 Dodger fans to every one Rays fan that was in attendance there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. The Dodgers are I think a team of destiny this year. You know, in the other two World Series, they didn't last year. Of course, the Nationals knocked them out. But you know, I think this is it. I really think that this is the year they get that back. I remember moving to Vegas, and after Kirk Gibson hit that home run, we moved from LA to here, and I thought, wow, Dodgers are going to win several championships. They haven't been 1-1 since then. So I'm like,
oh, 88 was the last time. It was the last time in 88, but we keep coming back as repeat offenders and still get, you know.
You mentioned Fernando Valenzuela to someone. They don't even know who he is. Who? You know? These young kids, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Javier Lasorda, Sandy Koufax being, you know. We're an elite team. Like we really are. And I agree with you, Rich, that this is our year. I felt that same way with my Lakers. You know, we stayed number one that whole time through this whole thing, bubble or not. And, you know, they were able to pull it off with no fans. And
The Lakers were dynamite. And really, it's unfortunate what happened to Kobe. But that kind of brought them together. It brought the fan base together, everybody together. And, you know, we lose somebody like that, and it really was inevitable that they were going to win this thing.
Yeah.
And LeBron was not going to be denied this championship, and for Kobe. So I think it's a win-win situation. Anthony Davis is unreal. Caruso played very well in place of Avery. So you know, I think it's a good team, and I think they could do it again next year. You know, everybody picks the Bucks. I disagreed with the MVP pick.
I thought
LeBron should have won that.
Yeah, I did too. And I also think, you know, if and when the Dodgers win this World Series, because it's going to happen, I do see with Price coming back that possibly we could do a back-to-back. Dare I say, we could. I mean,
yeah, no
we've
doubt.
Made appearances every, we've done it the last, 4 years now and made appearance except for last year getting knocked out by those Nats. But I could see us even doing back-to-back with this.
And they have a kid coming up that they just drafted last year's draft. His name slips me at the moment, but he's dynamite. I mean, he is a fantastic pitcher. That's another great pitcher coming up.
Now, Rich, the farm team for the Dodgers now, because I remember locally we used to have our 51s. They were a farm team for them back in the day a few years back. But who's a farm team for them now to get the ones that are on the minors?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Very cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure because I was like, wait a minute. I remember we were a farm team, and then I kind of lost where we were going and how we were recruiting and getting people. But
yeah, little by little, we got the A's slipping in.
Yeah. And then the cool thing is, too, is that one thing about the Dodgers, too, that I always recognize, and, you know, Dustin may not have been the best move to start on that last game, and he realized that. He's like more of a middle inning pitcher. And even tonight, to set the example, but Dave Roberts, I mean, our bullpen is so heavy. And I think that's the difference from us in Tampa Bay, is that we can rotate pitchers all night. We can go all night. And
they're all good.
And they can't. You know, they got to stick with one, see if it works, call them out. But we can just keep going and going and going. And then with the outfielders that we do have, with Belly and Mookie out there, and then Justin Turner on third, and we've got other players running first and second. I mean, it's unbelievable. Our infield, our catchers, Will Smith is, like, stepping up. I mean, we're looking good. I'm excited. This is, you know, always a moment for me when I can still rep something from L.A. that I love, you know, and that's Dodgers is one of them.
Well, they've been,
and you're getting double. You got double power there with the Lakers and the Dodgers. You're just having a great year for this.
The trifecta with, dare I say, be Raiders, but I know that's unrealistic, so I'm not going to put that out there. But, you know, if all the cards fall down, maybe we would have a chance. I wouldn't have expected the Raiders to beat Kansas City. You know, I didn't even pick them to win, you know.
And this is a strange year because
it is a strange year.
Tampa Bay won the NHL.
Yeah.
We won the basketball, the Lakers, and now here they are, Tampa and Lakers, LA playing again.
Now, do you think it'll be like that same kind of thing that we had going on with the Nats winning, the Mystics winning, and then the Capitals winning all in one year? Because Tampa Bay fans are thinking, oh, yeah, Rays got it. Then if the Rays get it, then Buccaneers are next. We're taking the Super Bowl. You have some of that kind of talk out there.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Look, the Rays very well. If they upset the Dodgers, they upset the Dodgers. All right. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
I mean, really, just based on what I know about baseball, this is one time I can say I think the Dodgers have the much better team here. All right. But it takes nothing away from the Rays. Any given day, they could
win. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm not going to be upset if the Rays win. Obviously, I want the Dodgers to win. But now the football story, Buccaneers. I think what you're going to see with the Buccaneers, and I've said this on my show several times, they're going to start strong, which they have. They've started out strong. But I think you're going to see Brady fade after a while. I mean, the guys, he's missing. He isn't the same guy. He really isn't.
No.
And I take nothing away. He's the greatest guy, right? The greatest guy. But I can't see him winning another Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening. So. This is my opinion, though.
Yeah.
But he's definitely got one up on Bill Belichick. So they're at under 500 for the first time since 2002. So I think Tom at least can mark that box off as I won this. But
I wish they would play each other, right?
Yeah. Right.
Maybe it's on the schedule. I haven't noticed.
It was so crazy with, you know, having them play the Rodgers and him being in the league for what, 21 years now. And this is only his third time ever playing Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just, you know, that's just how these, you know, it's unfortunate that there's not more games where they have more of the interdivisional or inter NFL games where they can play other. The AFC, the NFC more often, because I just couldn't. I was like, third? That's it? Like, you've been in the league for this long and it's only your third time facing him?
Yeah. I think it's like every 4 or 5 years they rotate, you know, divisions to play each other. Or it takes 4 to 7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, a lot of Dolphins, a lot of Bills, a lot of Jets. Brady lived on all those games, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. 4-5-2.
Now, Rich, and I'm going to ask you this because, you know, last season everybody was upset. Everybody was calling for Dave Roberts' head. We blamed Dave. I didn't really necessarily blame Dave as much as I did Andy Freeman. I mean, what is your take as far as that whole him being our manager and then that GM or president of Andy Freeman? What do you think as far as have they redeemed themselves thus so far?
I'm anti-Moneyball thing. I really am. I don't like it because it puts a minimum on a guy who's red hot. A guy's throwing a no-hitter. Oh, sorry. You got to go out. You don't take a guy out throwing a no-hitter. Let him finish the no-hitter.
Right.
It happened to Bueller. I don't remember last year it happened.
Right.
And they still got a no-hitter, but it was combined. But I just don't like it. I mean, I don't know how many people do. Look, I've been a manager in high school. Of course, I'm talking high school. We're talking pros. But you have to have a feel for the game. And I think Dave Roberts generally, I know Jay very well.
Okay.
We're from the same era and so forth. But he has a feel for the game. But I don't know what Friedman's telling him behind the scenes. I'm not a fan of Friedman. I'm not.
I that was my biggest thing. Is I was like, the takeaway is that Andy Friedman's the one in the ear, because he called down and told him to take him out. And that was like,
right. And so he's taking the credit for this team winning, which all GMs do, right, when they're winning.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean it was him. You know, Dave Roberts has brought out the best of his players, kind of like Dusty Baker used to do with the Giants. And I think that's the case here. I think we got a situation where the Dodgers are a very talented team. And with people watching these games, they're seeing that now. I don't know if it's Friedman. I mean, what did he do? I mean, yeah, he signed Betts. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
He signed Betts. Best thing he ever did, right? But I can give you 10 other things that didn't work, you know, with the Dodgers. So I'm not a fan of the situation. I don't put all the praise on Friedman for this thing, but I do put it on Dave Roberts. I think he's done well. He's made some errors in pitching judgments, but we don't know what Friedman's telling him.
Right.
So it's hard to gauge that. It really is. It's a tricky situation. It really is.
You're right. Because I was so upset last season. So upset because I just, you know, and then you have fans that also get really heavy on Kershaw. And I feel like, you know, they need to back off on him just a little bit, because we know if you watch baseball, you know, Clayton Kershaw, you know where he started, and post-surgery Kershaw, you know that he is not the same Kershaw that we had from the very beginning.
No, and here's another thing. Kershaw has done great for five innings. It's when they leave him in the sixth and seventh that we get in trouble.
Right.
And that's
right.
Where he's lost a lot of games.
That's where you got to take him out. And there I said, you know, people were worried even about yesterday's game of starting him. And I'm like, no, he can definitely start. We just don't need him to try, you know, game three, game four down the road, maybe replace him, have Walker start. And I would like to see Kershaw play in the middle inning. I don't know what that looks like. You know, sometimes, well, they did that last season, bringing him out, and it just was a fail. But that was 150 games in. This is a 60-game season. So I'd be curious to even see play around with that and see what Kersh could do.
Well, yeah, I think they're setting us up this year to have Kershaw in a game six, possibly a game five. But Buehler would be the closer at 3-7.
Yeah.
I think that's what the deal is. So
okay.
If it gets that far, it could.
And then when we come to the end of relief pitchers, as it goes, as our closers, is Kenley Jansen finito?
No, he's made some adjustments. Charlie Huff talked with him. Charlie Huff was his guru in Oklahoma. And of course, Charlie was a great pitcher with the Dodgers years ago. He's made some adjustments with him. Rick Honeycutt has also taken him to the side and made some adjustments with him. These guys aren't even with the team anymore.
Right.
And so they're helping him. And I think they've corrected some things that they saw he was doing differently. You got to remember, he was a catcher converted into a pitcher.
Right.
And really, he's done great. He really has. I think he's still got more in him, of course.
Okay. I
have a question that's just from me noticing, because I haven't watched a lot of baseball lately. You know, my Mariners are just, you know, they're young, and hopefully they can continue to do well and not get traded off to like the Yankees.
Well,
but
they started so well too.
They always start well, Rich. That's every year. They've got that great March, April, and then comes June through October. And it's like, well, there's always next year. But there are some great young talent on that team, so I am happy for them. But I did notice throughout watching the World Series and through the playoffs so far, because I usually do watch no matter what, always the playoffs and the World Series. What is up with these sliding gloves? I had never seen this before. Is this new this season? Did it happen? I mean, I don't know. I was like, what does this guy have in his hand? The first guy I saw, I thought, did he break his hand? Is it like a cast in there? And then I saw the guy is on first base swapping and putting them on. I'm like, what is this? Is it just not to get stepped on? This is my first time I've noticed.
It's a sliding mitt. No, so let me tell you, when I played, now I can only reference myself because I was a base stealer and I was fast. And so several times I would catch myself dragging my hand, you know, and you'd cut it right here a little bit. Just scratch it up. Really, it's not going to kill you. but somewhere along the line, somebody lately came up with this sliding mitt, which to me, I don't know. It almost adds, if you think about this, I think they wear it because it actually adds that much.
It's an advantage.
Oh, inch, right. Yeah.
It does, because if they touch the base, they've got it right there on the tip. And that was just what happened back earlier in this game with the third.
Yeah.
Like, but you touched his shoe. That was an out. I'm sorry. That was an out.
No, baseball's a game of inches. I used to tell my players that all the time. This is another advantage. That glove is a huge advantage. And even though it's protecting their hand from getting cut, or it really doesn't help to step on because it looks soft. It looks like like something you take out of the oven, that type of mitt. But
it does look like an oven mitt. like a new age oven mitt, you know? I was like, what is that?
So watch when it happens, where if you actually could see, like imagine his hand in there, you know that there's about an inch above.
Sure.
And watch when that occurs and they call a guy safe. Everybody's gonna go, it's that darn mitt. It's that mitt.
They're gonna blame it on the mitt. I see it coming. Yeah.
Wow. So, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I can't.
Something to watch for.
We got a comment, but I don't even want to say it. Thanks, Steve.
Right.
Everything's a game of inches.
I'm laying low
yeah.
on this.
Yeah. Well, let's turn a little bit.
Matter, I guess, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's turn a little bit. Let's go back to Mo's Raiders and to the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, I think we all were impressed with their season opener here against the New Orleans Saints, where they won and surprised everybody. And then, you know, they had kind of like a downturn, but then go off to Kansas City and beat them too. So what do you kind of expect out of the season? Like, are we going to see the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Raiders, like the Raiders that beat the Chiefs, or are we going to see the Raiders that have lost the last few in between?
So the Bills.
Yeah.
Well, lost to that Bills thing. That was terrible. And that was at home.
Yeah.
Now we got Tampa.
That was rough. I'm sitting here, you know, I give picks every week. And so I have to be very unbiased. So when I think they're going to lose, I have to say they're going to lose, you know, and of course I said Kansas City was going to beat them. Who would dispute that? 6 years straight, nobody's beaten them at
Arrowhead. At home. Yeah.
So it was a good pick, but it was a bad pick, right? Because the Raiders went in there and upset them. Somebody was going to do it eventually. They did it. Good for them. Now, if that's the Raider team we saw play, there's nobody beating them. But they got to keep that consistency up. This is a good team. It really is. I've been around the guys. You know, Derek Carr is doing great. You know, his backup is doing great. Mariota's doing great. I think that this is a team that really could surprise people in the playoffs. They've got to get by that juggernaut of the Ravens and the Chiefs. And those are the two teams the Raiders have to. Now, they knocked one down. They got to play them again, of course.
They sure do.
Yeah
they got to play them again.
Last of the season, actually, with them.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But
and then they got Tampa coming in this weekend. So
well, we have Tampa Sunday, but then we have no Trent Brown, too. Trent Brown is out due to COVID. He just tested positive for COVID. So Trent Brown, you know, it's one of those things. And like I said, with NFL, it's just a flawed 2020 season. I feel like this is the only sport where I feel like you really need to put an asterisk next to it, because it is definitely manipulating different things, schedules, all kinds of stuff. I want Tom Brady and the company to walk into Allegiant and lose. I really do. Potentially, we can. What happened?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Mo just
Mo went blank. Yeah, she's invisible now. We can hear her, we just can't see her.
Yeah. Mo went
blank. Well, you know, and I feel like, you know, Josh Jacobs is an amazing for the team. But if for some reason the defensive that we're facing is great, he doesn't get those touches as much, and then they're forced to have to look into passing. And I know that Ruggs had gotten a couple, so that was good. Waller's been doing great, so you know, Of course, I'm not a Raider fan, but I live in Las Vegas now, you know, so I am, you know, the Raiders are, here we go. We'll get Mo back up there. I don't know.
Mo's coming back.
Yeah.
Just like the Dodgers.
Yeah. Don't call it.
You might have to try that again, Mo. I don't know.
I don't know. What happened?
Well,
hey, I don't know.
She's representing the Raiders.
Yeah, the black, the silver.
Silver and black. No, you know, this is a weird year. It really is. You know, Jay Schrader and I talk about this all the time. And of course, we do a show on Thursday night at Treasure Island, which everybody's welcome to come.
Please talk about it.
Yeah, it's at Senior Frogs, 5:30 we tape. It's fun, really. We have fun. If you ever want to meet a football player, come on down. And Jay is great. I mean, I just met Jay about, you know, a year and a half ago, and he was peering in on my shows, you know, on Facebook. That I'd say, hey, Jay Schrader's watching. Oh, wow, you know, this is great. And Jay was about a year prior to my high school career, but Jay Schrader, Daryl Strawberry, John Elway, Eric Davis, all great players from that era. And, you know, so I've known of Jay since high school. And then to watch him go to UCLA and lead the Redskins to a Super Bowl and get cheated out of really playing in that Super Bowl. And Doug Williams got all the credit for winning the Super Bowl. But Jay led them the whole way. And so to see him go with the Raiders in L.A., if you think of the L.A. Raiders, it's Jay Schrader. I mean, Mark Wilson came in later, but Jay was the L.A. Raider quarterback. So big arm, great guy, as you know. I know he's on
the
show.
Yeah, we've had him on. Yeah,
it was super.
And then
guy.
He's got his name out there at Allegiant Stadium on one of the little bricks they got. So that was pretty cool. But that's good.
The guy deserves everything, really.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too.
Yeah, super guy. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. Like some, you know, you meet some athletes. You and I have met some athletes, and it's just like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
But no,
Jay's personable.
Great.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah. I think it's a good relationship that I have with him. I was with Joey Browner for years, who was really his nemesis, UCLA, USC. But, you know, to be with Jay is different because I was with a defender, really one of the meanest players that ever played in Joey Browner. And I was kind of the guy who could get the pussycat out of him, you know, and everybody said that, how is he so good with you? But Joey and I are like brothers, really. And he's a good guy when people get to know him. But Jay Schrader, man, he's great right out the gate, you know? So you don't have to take to a warming up period or anything with Jay, because he's right there and he's real. He's the real deal right
he
up
sure
front.
Is. So. He sure is. Well, since Mo's gone, maybe we'll take the opportunity to talk about my Seahawks then.
Okay, let's do it. Russell Wilson's looking great.
So how is it that, I mean, we all know that Seattle gets passed on a lot of things a lot of time. They get overlooked all the time. You know, wide receivers like Tyler Lockett have been overlooked for a couple years now. DK is getting the attention that he deserves. But Russell, to never have had an MVP vote ever, and this man has had some amazing seasons. It's not just this season that he's done well. I mean, he literally is a backbone to a team that's, you know, defense has done great, but whose offensive line has never done well, except for possibly a little bit better this season, maybe a little bit better during the Super Bowl run. But it was really the defense that got us there. So what do you think as far as Russell Wilson this year as the MVP candidate?
Oh, far and away. I mean, he's on fire. And really ended last season on a good note. And then this season he came in on fire. So, look, this is a guy, I think he's Hall of Fame bound. He's a tremendous athlete. I'm not a fan of bringing Antonio Brown to the team, though.
I'll
tell you why. I think the influence – look, this is a great player at one time, okay?
Sure.
At one time. Something happened along that line. I don't know when Perfect hit him or something. Something triggered something in Antonio Brown. And really, I don't think he's mentally okay. I've been around him. There's something just not clicking there.
Right.
And I take nothing away from his talent. He's been tremendous. He has Hall of Fame numbers, let's face it. But I don't know that that's the guy you want in the locker room with Pete Carroll's team. I mean, John Gruden, if you can't get along with Gruden, how are you going to get along with Pete Carroll? You know what I mean? They're kind of the same guy. And
yeah, I kind of feel like if anyone could do it, though, Pete could. I mean, we've had Josh Gordon, who we still have, but he hasn't been okay to play back. I mean, Josh Gordon had his own issues, mental health and whatever else, and they were able to work with him well enough. We've had other guys that, you know, have had their own issues. I feel like there's a welcoming and there's like maybe a comforting kind of more
maybe
like
they try it.
Yeah, you know, they can try, but I feel for me, it's like I want Antonio to come in there if he does come to know that he's not first option. Like, you have to know there's already a team here and you got to be able to, okay, you got to be okay with being like the third or fourth option or like the, you know, the third or fourth down. You're not going to be getting all the passes. We've got DK, Tyler Lockett. I mean, David Moore has been great. All of our tight ends can catch, you know, Travis Homer, one of our running backs can catch. So, you know, anybody can catch on this team.
If you think about all the series of events that have occurred since the locker room video taping with the Steelers to really the came in all gun ho being a Raider, Gruden sending Carr to his house and they're going to their house and their buddies and everything's great, and then the freezing of the feet, and then the blowout with Mayock because his feet were messed up.
And what all the DB stuff, and then he marries the baby's mama, and then
fire department coming to the house, police department. What is going on? I mean, so these are all signs. If I'm Roger Goodell, and I'm telling you this has occurred, this has probably occurred, just knowing what I know. He's talked to every owner in this league and said, look, if you're going to sign this guy, you better make sure he's okay. Right. Because they're going to have a serious lawsuit if he goes nuts on the field or something. And so I worry. I really worry because I've seen this only a couple times in my life where a guy just loses it. And I'm worried about Antonio Brown. I think it's more of a – he doesn't need the money. He's got plenty of money. And he could have had a fortune with the Raiders. He just played one game.
Can you believe
That's what I'm saying. Come on. You and I both know. Boy, I'm on my best behavior. If you say Girl Chat Sports is going to pay me $1 million.
Hello. Even just for one game. Just show up. Keep your mouth shut and take the money.
Now, who doesn't do that? So that's what I'm saying. There's an issue there. And I think people need to realize it's really not about the football anymore. It's now about Antonio Brown. Is it safe to put Antonio Brown out there? Should he get hit again? I mean, God forbid he gets hit and then he goes home to Florida or wherever he lives and causes a problem. So I don't know. You know, it's a tough
situation.
That's
my other thing, too, is like, you know, they're talking about him being available after week 8. But if we're in week 7 and the NFL hasn't even given the okay to let Josh Gordon come back and play, and we're just talking about regular old, currently not being tested for / legal marijuana. Like, how is Josh Gordon not able to play yet? But Antonio Brown, who continues to show these issues, is able now because he's been off his restriction at week 8. It would be, I would love it if both of them could start playing for week 8. I mean, here's the deal. During COVID and the injury stricken season we've had this season, it never hurts to have too many options. Right. I mean, I don't want to jinx my team by any means, but you know, people are going down left and right every game. Just like this weekend, Mozart went down and he's going to be on IR possibly with that high ankle sprain. Like, we don't know what's happening anymore. We don't know who's going to be playing, who's going to be injured, and it would be nice to have that little cushion of people you can keep on swapping in and playing backup. But, yeah, not for the extra problems or any other issues he may have in Seattle.
No, and look, I don't know if you noticed this, but did you notice how the Dodgers just stopped talking about Andrew Tolles? He just disappeared. And then he got arrested in Miami being homeless because there's issues there. And so it wasn't that the Dodgers didn't want to help him. He still has friends on the team and everything. But sometimes these guys get in a situation and they don't call anybody. And they fall into a bigger hole and bigger trap. And, of course, Andrew's now out of baseball. And I don't know that he comes back. Based on what his sister says, or I think it's his sister who said that, that you know, he's in no shape to even think about playing baseball mentally. So a lot of these guys, we just don't know. A lot of these guys we're watching every day in the NBA and college football and pro football and baseball. There's Mo. How are you? Welcome back. Welcome to the show, Mo.
Yeah, great to be here.
Welcome to the show, Mo. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be a guest tonight.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts. I just I don't know. I'm a little cautious. Maybe Pete can fill it out.
And you know, and my thing is, if anyone can do it, I feel like Pete can. Pete has a very nonchalant but stern kind of way, kind of like your father figure, you know, slash your grandpa almost. I mean,
yeah,
Pete's what, the second oldest coach in the league right now. I mean, but he makes it happen. He's got the energy of a kid still. So I would think that if someone can do it, maybe it's him. But my hopes are to first get Josh Gordon back on and to go from there. But we did also. I was happy to hear we recently signed back Michael Kendricks, who had had those white collar crime issues last year.
Right.
So he's now able to play, which is great. He's a linebacker for us. And it's great because our linebackers, even though we've got Bobby and Bruce and KJ, it's like you can never have too many of this right now. Everybody is getting injured. There's something happening to everybody all the time. So it'd be nice.
It's
be
crazy. Nice. And, you know, Pete's an amazing guy. I met Pete Carroll when he was with the Vikings as an assistant coach years
ago. Oh, wow.
So I didn't think he'd remember me, right? I run into him with Joey Browner. He loves Joey, by the way. So, because he coached him in Minnesota. So we're at an SC game, and it's Pete's last year. And I'm standing behind Joey just following his coattails to get in the Coliseum, right? Here comes Pete. Hey, let those two guys in. Blah, 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 blah. So John Robinson was standing in the hallway, the old coach, and he says, hey, you know Joey, huh? He goes, oh, that's Rich Perez. He's real quiet over there. But he was Chuck Knox's right-hand guy. Wow. But I thought to myself, how does this guy know this? I told him that 20 years earlier. Like, I didn't even expect the guy to remember me. But wow. It was just amazing. Pete Carroll's really a good guy. He really is.
Was he still wearing the white shoes back then, too?
No, his SC days, yeah.
Now, here's the deal. I didn't like Coach Carroll back in the SC days because, you know, I'm a Husky. So we battled a lot during those days. But, of course, as a Seahawk, you got to love him. Him and his gum chewing are two things. The gum chewing and the shoes are what he's pretty much known for in Seattle. But, yeah.
I felt bad when he got hit by the football. That wasn't good, but
yeah, you know, part of the job, right? Like stuff happens, you know, but let's get on to a little bit more. Maybe like, what's your feeling on these Cowboys? I mean, we know, and I'm sure you might have friends and colleagues that are similar to some of the friends and and people that are in our groups and our chats and followers here is Cowboy fans, no matter what happens, they're winning the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Game one, they're winning the Super Bowl. Right. I mean, that's just what it is. But, yeah, you know.
It is.
They're getting like a reality check, I think, now. I mean, nobody wants to see anyone get injured. And it was really sad to see Dak go down. And we wish him a speedy recovery. But now you're kind of seeing the rest of the openings and the gaps and the problems that reside within the organization, I think, and the team.
I had season tickets for the Cowboys for almost 30 years. And I would sell them. They're easy sell, right? So I bought them. And I remember when Tony Romo was probably in his fourth or fifth year, and the girl calls me. She said, Rich, we got to have payment tomorrow, or you'll never be able to buy Cowboy tickets again. And I said, let me tell you something. If you don't have payment tomorrow, I can guarantee you they will not win the Super Bowl for at least 20 more years. They haven't done anything. I think I jinxed them. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but really, they haven't done anything. And this is probably the worst team I've seen, Dallas-wise. I have a good respect for Jerry Jones. He has a brick out there of my son. And that's nice, a gate 19. My son passed away in Iraq. Yeah. And I have a real fondness for the Cowboys. But this team, I don't know if it's McCarthy. But people are running right up the gut, 20 yards, boom, no problem. Throw a pass, no problem. I mean, there's no defense. I think Ezekiel and Dak are the two players there. Now Dak's out. Now you got Ezekiel's on his own. Of course he's going to fumble. He's trying to do everything.
And fumbled twice. Like that was just in one game. Oh man.
This is not this isn't just fix one thing. They got to fix everything. I mean, I've got a feeling he's going to fire everybody.
Dallas dysfunction. It's a huge mess. Everybody's seeing right through the holes in their system. Yeah. I mean, you've got elite coaches that they're going up against that can see these holes. Mike McCarthy, I don't put so much blame on him, but he's walking into a situation that he did not expect, and no one expected it, to be honest with you. But it's one of those things where you've got an elite line. Your offensive line is great over there in Dallas.
Sure.
You've got to figure out a way to make it work. There was no excuse for Zeke to crumble like he did. None whatsoever. I'm not even giving Aaron Rodgers a pass against Tampa Bay. There was no excuse for this team to be as everyone's praising. It's the Cowboys, America's team. They're the best, you know. There's no excuse for them to have lost the way they did in this past game. Even with Andy Dalton, if he's throwing the ball vertically, if he's doing if you're throwing pocket passes, whatever, they need to make sure that they are able to adjust to that and figure it out. Because that was just utterly ridiculous.
I've never seen
anything like that before.
They're shredded. Like, the Browns did it.
And I don't even know why we're
Cardinals.
Having because it's the Cowboys. And I just kind of want to laugh it off. And I'm more wanting to talk to you about your thoughts with Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick out, Tua now.
Yeah.
And the hurtness of that, because I feel like I don't think that's a great move. I think that's a big mistake. I think Fitz has been doing very well with this team right now. Yeah, they're 3-3, but it's Fitzpatrick that's happened. And even if Tua came in towards the end, those two passes and played, and it was a great moment for him. He is injury prone. I don't think he's still recovered from it. I just don't know what they are thinking over there in Miami. Can you give some insight to that, or what are your thoughts as far as that kind of move?
Well, I think this reminds me of Denver years ago, right? Before you guys were born, right? John Elway was drafted.
Oh, right? We were alive.
All right.
Speak for Mel. Don't speak for me. I'm young.
Anyway, so John Elway got thrown into the fire right away. And for 3 years, he was the worst quarterback on earth. And they're like, oh my God, this guy, this team's terrible. Little by little, they got better and better and better and better. So, you know, we're seeing that with Tannehill, even though he was terrible at the Dolphins. Now he's great with the Titans. What gives, right? So Tua coming in, I think they're just at the point where, okay, we drafted this guy, number one, we're paying him a lot of money. Put him in, you know, just get him in. But I agree with you. Fitzpatrick, I always want to say Fitzsimmons.
Fitz magic.
Conor McGregor Jr., right? He's done his thing. You know what I mean? I think he kind of reminds me of, remember Steve DeBerg? He would just bounce around from team to team and do well. He did well, but never stuck. He never stuck.
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. He's a good quarterback. He has good days, more good days than bad days. But he just doesn't get the respect he should get. So, yeah, I agree with you. They should let him finish the year out. But if I'm the owner, I'm going, hey, I got my number one guy sitting down. Put him in, please. I want to see him in action. The fans went crazy. They're buying jerseys. That's what this is about. It's
right,
about buying jerseys.
I have to say that is exactly what is going on. That Tua had his moment sitting on the field at the end of the game. FaceTime his parents about his moment and all that kind of stuff, and everybody just went nuts when they put him in, and he did well. And it's just that kind of wave. But the rumor is Fitzpatrick is seriously upset about the change. Like, it seems like
he said that hurt him. He said that he was hurt all day. He felt that it was his team. But here's the deal. I mean, I wish that they would have let Tua wait off the year, just like they did Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes sat the first year that he was drafted, and look how well he's done. Now we'll see what happens with Tua. Maybe they'll have to rethink that process. But of course, like, you know, it's COVID. Their money's low right now. They're not getting the same kind of revenue the NFL and teams are. So maybe it is a great, you know, financial gain for them to put him in. But it's, you know, it sucks because you're 3-3, but it's also the Dolphins. The Dolphins weren't good before you. So it's not like, oh, they're going to be magically, you know, 6-0 all of a sudden or 5-1. I mean, Devontae Parker was out for a couple games. He's been injured off and on all season. So it's not like you have this great team that somehow is being let down by your quarterback, because that's not the case.
Yeah, nobody's buying a Fitzpatrick jersey.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I agree. I have like
12 of them by now.
Maybe they could trade him to Adam Gase back to the Jets. Who knows?
The Jets need it. They're the only team now that hasn't won a game.
That's another coach. He's going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's just too much.
What's your take on Baker Mayfield, that guy? Because they're even, you know, thinking like maybe he needs to be out. Yeah. What is your take on him, Rich?
No, this is a gamer. He's a gamer. You want to keep this guy. There's, you know, it's just not working. Okay, he's had how many coaches already?
Yeah.
It takes a while. He's not adapting to that offensive scheme that's going on. No, this is a gamer. I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be fine. You know.
I just think Baker Mayfield does good with moderate teams. He needs to do better when it's elite teams. When you're going up against a Pittsburgh Steelers team, you need to level up. And I feel like that's where his miss is, that he gets a little – comfortable thinking that because he beat Cincinnati and he beat Philly or whatever the team, you know what I mean? But when you're at that level where you're having to play a Big Ben in the company, I think that's where you see the true ism of his quarterback style. And I just don't, I'm not a big Baker fan. I feel like, you know, I've tried to give Brownies a chance. You've got Antonio Brown out there and he wasn't getting any touches. He wasn't getting, and now he's
Odell Beckham Jr.
But huh?
Odell Beckham?
I mean, no. I'm sorry. OBJ. I'm sorry.
I was like, huh?
I'm sorry. And yeah. You have a Jarvis Landry. You have a Nick Chubb. Well, Nick Chubb's now out on IR. But you have these elite backs and everything. And I just think Baker Mayfield could do better with that line. I just don't see it in him right just yet. And I don't know what the problem is, but we'll see with week 7. They're playing the Bengals. So in Cincinnati, that should be a win for them. But I don't know. I'm not a
Remember John Elway.
It takes
same
time.
Type of deal. Who? This is the same situation.
Yeah.
Kidding. Who? Remember, I wasn't born then. I don't know who
that was. But the other thing too is that we forget is that the Cleveland Pittsburgh like head to head rivalry is intense. So I feel like just Cleveland themselves, knowing how crappy they've always done against the Steelers, I feel like that's a kind of a head game too. Like they kind of go into it like, man, we always get our butts handed to us like this, and it just kind of naturally happens. And especially now with Big Ben back, that's just what it's just what happened. I mean, those two teams are so close.
They're last season. Maybe they're coming off the fight still, got that in their heads and everything too.
It's a lot of stuff.
You got to do some stuff. You got to do work. That's just my.
Well, the Browns haven't really done anything since Brian Sipe left, and that was years ago, but. Since then they moved to Baltimore, became the Ravens, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But then they turned into the Browns again and haven't won anything. So I think it's just a matter of time. You got to have the right combo. That right combo will happen eventually. Look at the Clippers. Close. Now Doc is out. Ty Lue's in. So, you know what I mean? It's just, you got to have the right combo. It's about combinations.
Yeah. But I feel like the Clippers will always be the Clippers. Just like you say with Dallas Cowboys will probably never win a Super Bowl anytime that we're living to see. But it's the same thing I feel with the Clippers, too. I don't know if Ty Lue is the difference maker. I don't even know if those same players are going to be there. We've got contracts up and different trades possibly happening. So I don't know. I mean, I just read somewhere that Bradley Beal is getting looked at by Golden State Warriors. Like, we just don't know what our basketball season is going to be looking like. But even with the Clippers, they'll just always be the Clippers. They'll always be that second team in LA that we just, you know.
Right. Well, they're a good team. They're a good team. This year, they were really the best team I've seen in terms of Clippers.
Better than Lob City? When you had Chris Paul and all that? Because that was the championship to me squad.
That was a good team. That was a good team, but
Doc Rivers. And I didn't understand for the life of me why that high-flying circus act of them with Blake Griffin and all of them didn't win it. I was very shocked by that because Lob City was a squad. They were actually an elite squad. I thought they were better than this squad they had this season.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have some insight with the Clippers, but I think there's some personality issues there way back then.
Well, yeah. And,
now I think it's a much more cohesive group. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Now, they did display some things I didn't like in the bubble there, leaving games before they ended. You know, they're supposed to be the leaders.
Right.
And I think that's why Doc got what happened to Doc, because he's the coach. Can't let these guys do that. And sometimes you have to put your foot down on your superstars.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's what I think happened.
Well, Mo's anti-Clipper anyway.
I don't think he's really. Yeah, it's never been that leader quality for me. Like anyone else to facilitate or set an example to. He's a load management guy. He's going to load manage next season. I just don't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just talking mess.
Mo don't like the Clippers, okay. Period. She'll never like the Clippers. She'll never give them props. That's just how it is.
I can be you know, neutral when it comes to, like I said, Lob City was the team. Like, I was watching Lob City. I was watching them, Clippers. They were exciting to watch. And they were really good when they had Chris Paul on there and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. I mean, they were, I was expecting them to do some things. I mean, I would have been tight because it's the Clippers, but at the same time, I still can have a, you know, unbiased opinion about what's good and what's not. And I just feel like with Kawhi Leonard being on that team, he's always been an added piece. He was an added piece to Toronto. Toronto already had a leader. He was an added piece to Spurs. He is not meant to be a leader. And I think he even knows that with his own headspace, that he's not a leader for a team. So I don't know who you get in that place to be that leader.
Yeah, no, wow. I hear what you're saying. I think what happened with that Clipper team was Chris Paul. This is a strong-willed guy. He works better with a guy like a Kobe or a LeBron he needs somebody who's going to tell him, hey, no, it's not this way, it's this way. He didn't have that with the Clippers. It was Chris Paul's way, and that was it. And ultimately, that destroyed that team.
That's the dysfunction. There we go. It's drama. Sterling was drama too, but just to add that on even more so with them.
Yeah.
Was just extra.
It was.
Yeah, well, it's all good.
We're here with Rich Perez. We're gonna wrap it up here in a second. Now, Rich, I know you usually do picks. We do picks every week, but it's just a win or lose. It's not about the bets or the overs and unders. So if you wanna join with us and make a pick for each game, you're welcome to. I don't wanna overstep on what you
Let's
already do.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We won last week, Mel.
We were tied 2-2.
We're just picking the winner.
We're just picking winners. So right now, me and Mo are 2-2-1. We missed out on week 4, but we're 2-2-1. So we're week 7. So we've got Thursday Night Football. Thank God. How weird was it not having Thursday Night Football last week? It completely screwed up my whole
week. So I wasn't tripping. So
it messed up my days. Like, I could always count on seeing football than knowing it's Friday. And I just kept on figuring, like, when's it Friday? I don't know. The Giants at Philly.
I got the Giants.
I'm going to go Philly.
Philly's whole line is done. They're all injured. They have nobody. I don't know what Carson Wentz is going to do.
You saw what the fans did, right? The fans were already kicking butts upstairs in the stadium. So I just feel like it's going to happen. You're going with the Eagles then, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, the Giants have been the worst team in the last 3 years.
I know. They're both.
But they're getting better.
It's the NFC trash division, so.
I get it. I just don't see how you can when you've got every single-handed player for Carson Wentz lying down. I just don't know.
Right. We got the Steelers at Tennessee. That should be a good game.
You just need to save that pick for the end. Go to another one because I can't right now. Save that one for last.
Dallas at Washington. I kind of want to go with Washington on this one. I'm going to roll the dice.
I love you too.
We all doing it? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
One more chance.
Yeah. Buffalo at the Jets. I mean,
Buffalo.
Is anyone going to pick the Jets? No. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Carolina at New Orleans. I've been very surprised at how Carolina's been playing without Christian McCaffrey. And I don't know. I think they said that he's not playing this week and possibly for next week.
So I'm not picking Panthers ever again in life, and I thought I wasn't going to be able to pick. Who are they playing again?
Saints. They're playing Saints.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with the Saints. That's my second team anyway. I'll take
that. I'm going to go with the Saints.
Yeah, Saints.
Green Bay at the Texans. Will Rodgers show up?
Aaron Rodgers is coming back for revenge. I'm going with Green Bay. Sorry, the Texans have been doing very bad this season.
The Texans are not great. I don't know what's up with Deshaun Watson. Like, I feel like I haven't even heard his name once this year.
Atlanta with the Falcons. It's just that down south thing is not doing. And then Dallas now you got. Oh, my God.
Richard on board with the Packers too. Okay, Browns at Cincinnati. You know I'm going to go with my Browns. This is my second-ish team.
Bengals.
Browns coming off a loss, but I'm going to see what it's Josh. It's Joe Burrow. Let's see.
Yeah.
What he can do. Let's do work. I'm going to go with Cincinnati and see what they do.
Okay. And so is Rich.
Looking really nice. He's actually throwing. He's looking really nice. I mean, it's no fault to him. It's just what it is. But he's actually going to be that guy, I think, in the future.
Yeah. Well, and then what's sad for me is as a Husky, John Ross III, that was a wide receiver for them, he actually asked for a trade because he's not getting played. Mm. Yeah, I know. Detroit at Atlanta. I just can't trust Cincinnati or Atlanta. I will never bet on them ever, either one of them. I just can't. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think Matt Staffy might pull one out again. Mm-hmm. Anyone?
I said Lions.
Oh, you said Lions? You're going to go with Atlanta, Rich? Okay.
I'm going with Atlanta.
Seattle at Arizona. Now, this is why I'm upset, because every year I go to Arizona for the game, and of course it's COVID. I'm missing out on like my first Seahawks at Arizona game in the last like 5 years. But
I don't want to know how Seahawks do after byes. You guys come off on top, okay?
And I don't think Jamal is playing this week. This sounds like they're still trying to keep him, like, you know, be conservative with him playing. So he might not be back, which is going to be kind of tough. But I do believe that that new defensive. I forgot Harrison or whatever his name is. I think he's got off the practice squad. He's coming up. So
you guys are undefeated, right? You're one of three teams that's undefeated currently, right?
5-0 with the bye week, yeah.
And so we're thinking that Cardinals will handle you guys your first L.
I mean, Cardinals had a great game last week, but it was the Cowboys.
I didn't pick them. I did pick them. I'm sorry, against Cowboys, I sure did.
I know I got to roll up my team. Yeah. You too, Mo. Okay.
I'm going to roll with the Seahawks too.
Okay. I got the Jaguars at the Chargers.
Oh, man.
These Chargers, man, every game, 2 or 3 points, one field goal. It's like.
I'm so mad. It doesn't matter if they're Sophie or wherever. They're making me so mad. But I'm going to roll with them again because I like their coach, former UNLV guy. We're going to roll with it. You know, I'm gonna go with the Chargers and just see. And being AFC West, you know, Rich, we don't want any team in AFC West to win except us. But I just want to give them a chance.
I think they're gonna turn it around. They're gonna turn it around.
I'm not sold on Minshew like Mel is. I'm just the Jaguars to me are just not.
Minshew hasn't been the same this year though. So
that's what I'm saying. He's COVID Minshew. So
I'm going with the Chargers. So yeah,
Chargers.
Okay. All right, so San Francisco travels across the country to New England.
Oh, man.
I'm still going with San Francisco. I'm sorry.
Mozart is not active, so I don't know who their backup is.
Garoppolo's back.
No, the backup running back.
Oh, backup running back. So.
That could be an issue.
Here's the thing. You've got Kyle Shanahan against Bill Belichick, so it's going to go down to coaching. Who's going to out-coach who? And that makes it tough. But Cam.
Well, you know, I can never root for the Niners, so I've got to go with the Patriots.
Okay, go with it. I'm just gonna try them.
You gonna try the Niners?
I'm gonna try the Niners.
You're gonna do what?
Patriots.
You're going
Patriots. Okay. I can't see Cam Newton having two bad games in a row.
But I can.
But you can.
Because it's COVID.
But at home,
100% on health. You know what I mean? He's just coming back from this thing, and you don't know what he's got.
We don't know.
And I'm just going to roll with 49ers on that one.
All right.
Okay. Chiefs at Broncos.
Oof.
Oh, that's.
It's over at halftime.
Yeah.
It's over at the first quarter.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, you know, but hey. Tampa Bay here for Sunday Night Football against the Raiders.
Here's the thing. If I pick the Raiders, they're going to lose. I did this with Kansas City. I picked Kansas City and the Raiders won. So I'm feeling now, and we have a general consensus with all our Raider fans, if we go opposite, then they'll possibly win. So I'll just say Tampa Bay.
I got Raiders winning on a last second field goal.
Do you? Okay. My heart tells me Raiders. I'm really thinking the Raiders.
You got a good kicker.
Yeah.
I just want to go.
I feel like it's elite. I feel like it's the inaugural season, you know, plus side. I'm going to go with them just because, hey, why not, right?
I can see the ball already in Mandalay Bay in the background.
Matrix works.
So what do you want?
I'm going to go Tampa just to see if the matrix of my prediction that they'll win anyway. And I'm willing to take an L on that to be.
Okay. All right. So we've got a little bit of a defensive battle, I guess. The Bears at the Rams.
I'm going to take the Bears.
For Monday Night Football.
I'm going to take them. Bears have been shockingly surprising.
Like sneakily surprising.
They have.
Like you, man, listen, I'm going to do the Bears.
I'm going to go with the Rams to upset them. It's in L.A., right?
It's in L.A., yes.
I'm going to go with an upset. But the Bears are really the real deal. They're a good team. But I just think they're going to lose one game. This is the game.
I feel like I'm going to go with the Rams only because I need their defense to give me some more points in fantasy football. So they've been doing well. Give me like 12, 13 points every game. So I just want to keep that up for this game. So that's about it. Rich, we appreciate joining us. We appreciate doing picks with us. Oh, we really had a great time. I mean, it's great to talk to you. I know that we definitely need to come down and check you guys out. Let us know where your
time.
Yeah. What time again and what day is the show where people can find you and then where your social media handles.
Thursday night at 5:30 at Treasure Island, Señor Frog's.
It's on the strip.
Restaurant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're right there, right when you're walking around in Treasure Island, you can't miss us.
It's right there, on the water.
We're going live on Facebook.
Perfect. Well, good. And as far as like Twitter or I don't know if you have a social media that you use the most that people could find you at to follow.
You know, I usually put my podcast. I do my podcast with Super Bowl Wayne still. And that's on all the outlets when you check for a podcast. Nationwide Sports with Rich Perez and Super Bowl Wayne. And Wayne's a nut. So we have a good time doing that show too. So I have Wayne with the podcast. I've got Jay with the Facebook Live. So if I could figure out how to do Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the same time, maybe you can show me.
Hey, that's not hard at all. It's not hard at all. It'll be easy. It should be easy. Have your people call our people.
You got it.
But we'll definitely have to come check you guys out. Both you guys in action. Mo decided to leave early again.
Again, she's out.
She's taking
calls. Thank you.
I know. So she's leaving it up to us to wrap it up. But I really appreciate it, Rich. Thank you again so much. And we will definitely have you back on again and definitely come back to Señor Frog's on Thursdays at 5:30 to come check you and Jay out. Okay?
Yeah. You know I'd do anything for you.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.